Issues Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Last week, President Bill Clinton wrote an op-ed piece for the Washington Post reflecting on 17 years of the Defense of Marriage Act, and he has some authority to reflect upon that. He was, after all, the president that signed it into law. It passed overwhelmingly in the Congress, and he signed it rather readily. He says now, 17 years later, that it shouldn't be a law anymore. In fact, it's discriminatory and unconstitutional. Joining us to talk about the president's call to overturn DOMA, the Defense of Marriage Act, Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse, founding president of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. Jen taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the book Smart Sex and Love in Economics. Jennifer, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hi, Todd. Thanks for having me on.
This is what former President Clinton had to say in the Washington Post. I'd like your reaction. He says, on March 27th, the DOMA will come before the Supreme Court, and the justices must decide whether it is consistent with the principles of a nation that honors freedom, equality, and justice above all, and is therefore constitutional. As the president who signed the act into law, I have come to believe that DOMA is contrary to those principles and, in fact, incompatible with our Constitution. What's your reaction?
Well, what did he say? Freedom, justice, and equality? I mean, the only equality of whom for what purpose? Obviously, he doesn't think about the equality of children, that all children are entitled to have a relationship with both of their parents. Some children are going to be less equal than others if we remove the gender requirement for marriage. There's no getting around it. So DOMA is perfectly consistent with the equality of children. Justice, it's a structural injustice to children to deprive them deliberately from a relationship with one of their parents simply because the adults want to. That is an absolute injustice to children. And freedom, well, the only kind of freedom that he's talking about, he must be talking about the freedom that means you get to do whatever you want and have everybody endorse what you do. So I think he's three for three wrong there, as far as I'm concerned, Todd.
He says, but 1996 was a very different time. Those are his words, a very different time. He says, in fact, a very different nation. There were no legalized same-sex unions. There were no legalized same-sex marriage. But now that that has changed, apparently, the constitutionality of the law that he signed in 1996 has changed. Now, I'm trying to understand his argument. The law hasn't changed. The wording's remained the same. The Constitution hasn't changed. It hasn't been amended since 1996. But the circumstances in the country have changed, and therefore it's unconstitutional. Does that argument hold any water with you?
Well, even more fundamentally, Todd, the more fundamental question is that men and women haven't changed, and children still need a mother and a father. Children still have a mother and a father, even if we hide it, mask it, ridicule it, covered up with all kinds of artificial technological stuff, there's still a mother and a father in the background of every single human person who's ever existed. That has not changed. That will not change. We are simply moving farther and farther away from the natural, organic purposes of human sexuality and from the natural reality that sex actually does make babies. And so his argument's really backwards, if you want to know. I mean, you know, the other thing we could say that's different today than in 1996 is that today, in 1996, no one had ever heard from children of who were donor-conceived persons. There were no websites where donor-conceived persons talked about what it was like for them to grow up not knowing one of their parents. There were no none of those children had ever had a chance to give their opinion and to tell their story. And so we have even less reason now to ignore them and their plight than we did in 1996. So, you know, the basic truths of human nature have not changed, and therefore we should not be fooling around with the definition of marriage, which is what DOMA was trying to protect.
So basically the president is saying the only thing that's changed is the popular and perhaps in some cases the legal definition of marriage.
Well, and he's saying also that that the you know, let's read between the lines. The political winds in 1996 said defend marriage. The political winds today say redefine marriage. It doesn't get any deeper than that for Bill Clinton.
He says, and he makes a connection between, in his words, a society that denied women the vote. And he's talking there about the 19th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. He says that society...
Wait a minute. Are gays not allowed to vote? What are we talking... What does that have to do with anything? Is there anywhere in the Union where gays aren't allowed to vote? Where is he from? Who is this talking?
Well, his argument here is...
Sorry.
Well, he says, look, there was a time when the American society did deny women the vote before the 19th Amendment to the Constitution, and that society seems, in his words, unusual and old-fashioned. And he says, I believe that in 2013, DOMA and the opposition to marriage equality are vestiges of just such an unfamiliar society.
Listen, Todd, 100 years from now, people are going to look back on our era, and what they're going to say is, how could those people believe that men and women were completely interchangeable? How could those people believe that marriage was about adults and their feelings and had nothing to do with children? How could those people believe that sex was a sterile recreational activity? How could those people deny children the right to know their parents? What were they thinking? That's what people are going to say 100 years from now. We're on the right side of history. The defenders of natural marriage are on the right side of history because natural marriage has to reassert itself. The artificial, socially constructed, legally imposed definition of marriage that they're trying to come up with is so brittle and so fragile, it's going to take an enormous amount of social and political and legal resources to enforce it and keep it in place. It will not last. It can't last. And 100 years from now, people are going to say the only people who were intelligent enough and far-seeing enough to figure out that this would end badly were the religious people. The people of faith had the knowledge and the courage and the foresight to speak out about that. That is the course of history. That's the true course of history. They think somehow they're going to wipe out the nature of man and woman. Well, I think that's a fool's errand.
If the president, if his argument holds sway with at least one member of the U.S. Supreme Court, probably the swing vote on this issue, or two, who knows, and DOMA is declared unconstitutional, what does that mean?
Well, it depends. I'm sure there's some details about how they would declare it unconstitutional, but let's just say as a general proposition that what's at stake here is the definition of marriage across the entire country. Because let's put it this way, if they discover a right to genderless marriage in the Constitution, if they discover that the Constitution requires that that marriage be a gender-neutral, genderless institution, that means that there will be same-sex unions in every state of the Union. It means every state that has a constitutional amendment prohibiting that those constitutional amendments are going to be thrown out. And it means that the government will have to empower itself to suppress natural relationships anytime the natural relationships come into conflict with the artificially created relationships that are generated by same-sex unions. So it means wiping gender out of social life. That's ultimately what it means. And you know where you can see that? Today, this very day in Minnesota, they're having hearings on whether they should redefine marriage in Minnesota. And the statute in Minnesota, it actually says that the terms mother and father must be interpreted in a gender-neutral fashion. Now, you tell me what kind of nonsense that is. You tell me what kind of sense that makes. And, you know, it's quite obvious they're saying right in the statute that we cannot have gender-specific words that have to do with mothers, fathers, and parentage, and spouses, and any of that stuff, that all of the gender language has to go. That is a big step. That is not just some little thing that we're going to tweak to let a few more people have marriage licenses. And that seems to be what people like Bill Clinton and his friends seem to think. We're just going to let a few more people have marriage licenses. We're just going to allow a boy-boy wedding cake topper be legal, and that's all we're doing. You know, they act like there's nothing significant at stake. And in fact, the whole idea of gender is potentially in play here.
Jen, before we let you go, I understand the deadline is approaching for the Ruth Institute's annual It Takes a Family to Raise a Village conference. With only a minute or less here, tell us about this year's conference.
Well, we would love to have your listeners apply. You just go to ruthinstitute.org and look for the ITAF icon on the right side of the page. And the deadline, the application deadline, is the 15th of March, so that's this Friday. So we would really welcome some of the Lutheran Public Radio listeners to be part of that. It's for young adults ages 18 through 30, and it's a pro-marriage conference from all different academic perspectives. So we have law, medicine, history, political philosophy, social science. We've got the whole range of speakers talking about marriage from different perspectives, including Robert Gagnon, who is one of the foremost biblical scholars on this subject, and also Mark Regnerus, who wrote the very important study on same-sex parenting, as well as two very important books on the sex lives of young adults. So it's going to be a really fine conference. We're really excited about it.
Folks, you will find information about It Takes a Family to Raise a Village conference May the 30th through June the 2nd in San Diego, California, under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse is founding president of the Ruth Institute, based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she is author of the books Smart Sex and Love in Economics. We'll have a link to the Ruth Institute and to their blog at our website as well, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Jennifer, thank you very much.
You're welcome, Todd.
When we come back in hour two of Issues Etc. on this Tuesday afternoon, we're going to be studying the hymn written by St. Patrick. It is titled, I Bind Unto Myself Today. St. Patrick is remembered, of course, on the 17th of March. We'll get a little jump on that celebration, looking at probably one of the most solemn, but beautiful Trinity hymns that has ever been written. It has staying power, not only because it's a good hymn, it has staying power because it is based upon one of the cardinal doctrines of the Christian faith, the doctrine of the Trinity, the unity in Trinity and the Trinity in unity. We'll talk all about that as we study that hymn, I Bind Unto Myself Today, with Pastor Will Whedon, right after this.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
When you need a friend, you have a friend in Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, and friends among His people at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Arnold, Missouri. At Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, we offer Christ-centered word and sacrament ministry, inspirational liturgical worship services, and faithful preaching and teaching. Sunday worship services are at 9 a.m. Sunday school and Bible class are at 10:30. We also have an excellent Christian preschool. We invite you to join us. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, 2211 Tenbrook Road, Arnold, Missouri, 636-296-1292.
We've got nothing against bumper stickers, just bumper sticker theology, and we'd like to send you an Issues Etc. bumper sticker. You'll find the Issues Etc. logo, slogan, and website address. Simply send your request to Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Please include a self-addressed stamped envelope. Good theology doesn't fit on a bumper sticker, but you can tell people where to find good theology, the Issues Etc. bumper or window sticker.